Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Grim Scenarios, our supposed to be weekly, frequently not weekly podcast on Blood on the Clock Tower strategy. We've had some life stuff come up in recent weeks, and we haven't been recording as much as we wanted to. Milk's house was falling apart.
My kitchen flooded.
I was sick sometimes when Milk wasn't unavailable due to kitchen stuff. There's been traveling. It's been a mess, but we're finally ready to get back in the saddle and regularly record again. And I don't know what episode this is, but we're going to be focusing on playing with madness.
Yay, madness, a highly requested topic.
Yeah, and what we thought we'd do is we picked a script that had all four of the released madness characters on it. That's Serenovus, Harpy, Pixie, and Mutant. And we're just going to do a few mini scenarios about situations you might find yourself in when you're mad.
This one might look familiar if you've played any games of Clock Tower recently.
Yeah, this is, of course, Shriek, the Banshee release script, because Banshee is still the hot new thing when we're recording this episode. And it happens to be auto-loaded with the app, and it happens to have all four of the madness characters. So it was easier to do this than finding some other script. Anyway, Milk, do you have any initial sort of pre-thoughts about madness before we dive into the scenarios?
I think madness is one of those effects in Blood on the Clock Tower that people get confused about because each character that interacts with madness interacts with it a little bit differently. And conceptually, right, madness is essentially an effect that requires you to genuinely convince people of something being the truth. That's it.
Yeah.
In the case of the mutant, it's genuinely convince them that you're not an outsider. Harpy, genuinely convince them that someone is evil. Serenovus, genuinely convince them that you have a specific role. And Pixie, the same thing. Genuinely convince other players that you have a specific role.
Yeah, and it's a very Blood on the Clock Tower unique mechanic, at least in my understanding, in the wider social deduction space. I haven't played every social deduction game, obviously, but it's something that I know a lot of people who come from other social deduction games can get confused by or even find distasteful at first, because madness is essentially requiring good players to lie in a particular way, and some players find that either weird or uncomfortable because it's so novel to the Blood on the Clock Tower game space.
Yeah, and it also requires you to have someone adjudicating the game, right? It requires you to have a storyteller, game master handling the game. So any social deduction game that doesn't have a referee, essentially, is not going to be able to handle that effect.
Yeah, and of course, refereeing means judgment calls, and madness is one of those things where, like, you couldn't write an AI to adjudicate madness, at least not currently. You couldn't write a computer program to storyteller for you on a madness script that could just automatically implement all the choices. It's a very judgment call-y area, which is something else that people find uncomfortable about it. But I did just want to read the rulebook's definition of madness, which is in the glossary of the rulebook, page 43, mad. A player who is mad about something is trying to convince the group that something is true. Some players are instructed to be mad about something. If the storyteller thinks that the player has not tried to convince the group of that thing they were instructed to be mad about, a penalty may apply. Some players are instructed to not be mad about something. If the storyteller thinks that the player has tried to convince the group of that thing, then a penalty may apply. And that's actually a little bit too narrow, because as we know from the Pixie, some characters actually get benefits from complying with madness.
Yeah, that's the general idea. Yeah, the rules were written for the base three scripts, right? So that's talking really about Serenovus and Mutant, but it's a general idea that works.
Yeah. So we're just going to jump into an initial scenario here.
Sounds good.
We're going to each do two or three scenarios for the other, just little mini scenarios to talk specifically about how you play when you're mad about something. So let's go out to the Grim.
Alrighty.
Artemis is very upset that we've gotten to the Grim stage of this.
She's not a fan.
Anyway, Milk, you're sat in seat 5, and you have the juggler token.
Ooh, the juggler token.
I'm going to tell you that we're at the start of day 2. Okay. On day 1, and I'll just go through a few things. On day 1, seat 4 was executed and died. Before they died, they claimed Slayer and shot, let's say, seat 8. And at night, seat 11 died. Yesterday, you juggled that seat 6 was the Fisherman, seat 7 was the Oracle, seat 9 was the Klutz, seat 12 was the Banshee, and seat 2 was the Bounty Hunter.
All right.
You got a 1 on that juggle last night.
Sounds right. Assuming
that one of your juggles was true, which is a fairly typical juggler number.
Mm-hmm.
And today you've been instructed that you were woken up that, but before you got your information, you were woken up at night and told that the storyteller would like you to be mad as the savant.
Mad as the savant. Now, this is a very common scenario. All right.
So, let me ask you, Milk, as a juggler on day 2, putting the madness to aside for a second, you've gotten a 1 juggling 5 people, presumably as things they told you they were or things you guess they might be from public conference.
Mm-hmm.
What would you normally want to do as a juggler to sort of lock down your information and what that 1 means?
So the first thing you want to do is kind of go back through those players and check in with the hard claims, right? Say, hey, you know, are you really this thing? And start figuring out how many of these claims are things that people are sticking to. And that might actually not be something you could do on day 2. It might take till day 3, depending on your group and depending on the other players. And with that in mind, it's not something that's super urgent. I think one thing that people get stuck on is they need to use their information as fast as possible. But that's not the case. You have a whole town and a whole several days, usually, to make your information count. So getting a 1, you know, there's some things that could be the case. A bunch of people could have lied to me. Could be a Vortox game. I could be the drunk. Somebody I juggled who genuinely believes that they're a thing could be the drunk. So there's not a ton of urgency for me to get that information out there. And I just need to, over the course of the next day or two, try to follow up with those players that I juggled to try to find out if most of those people are still claiming the same thing or if there's something wrong, you know, if there's something wrong with the information overall.
Now, you're going to have a layered on problem. Layered on top of this problem, of course, is that you can't claim to be a juggler with a 1 while you go about that, at least for tomorrow.
That's right.
Because you, if you want to stay alive, because you're, of course, mad as the savant. So how might you combine the two aspects of what your accomplishments are? Let's say you want to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to combine your desire to stay alive with your desire to try to start solving your juggler information?
So there's a couple of ways that you can do this, but one of the things that I think is useful is to look at the claims that you have from people and try to craft some savant information around that and then let it give you a reason to talk to those people. So you wouldn't necessarily, like, one piece of your information shouldn't be, you know, your savant information shouldn't be a juggler that juggled what you juggled would have gotten a 1 last night. That's probably too on the nose, you know. But, you know, you could make up something.
I can say that if you're the juggler who juggles 5 people as something and got a 1, and then you're mad as the savant the next day, and you say, today the storyteller told me that if a juggler juggled the 5 people I juggled as these 5 role claims, they would have gotten a 1. I am probably going to execute you immediately.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, in this case, right, you might say one of your statements is that there's a minion located between seat 6 and seat 10, right? So you've got a 1. That's actually a pretty reasonable guess of a thing that could be true. There's a reasonable chance that one of the people who lied to you is a minion and could be there, right? And then, you know, the other mm-hmm. statement can be something relatively generic, but that gives you a reason to go talk to those three people. If you don't want to make it as confrontational with them and don't want to make them as, you know, as sort of suspicious if there is a minion, you could say one of your statements was that there is a drunk seated within two seats of you or seated within three seats of you. And that would cover, you know, two to three people and give you a reason to go talk to them because, you know, again, your information is off. So there's some there's some stuff you could make up that I think would be pretty useful to getting you into conversations with those players. But ultimately, you don't have to give out savant information. Like, you could kind of say that your information, like, especially in a script with a heretic, you could say your information, you know, relates to the heretic and that you don't necessarily want to give it out, right? Like, there's things you could do to also avoid.
Yeah. Though I would say you should probably be trying, if you want to be buttoning your buttons, crossing your I's, dotting your T's, you know, all the things that you want to do to make sure you're least likely to be executed, you should probably be giving out at least some misinformation when you're mad as a character, some information from that character's role. Some storytellers will expect you to be doing that.
Yeah, and I agree.
So if you want to button things up, you probably shouldn't be saying, oh yeah, I'm mad as the savant, but I don't want to share any of my information. That doesn't seem interesting to me right now. That sounds like more like someone who's mad as the savant than someone who's actually the savant and actually wants to use their information to help solve.
I would agree with that. And I think it's important that you don't get too close to your real information, right? Like giving myself a reason to talk to some people is a lot different than giving out that, you know, someone that you talked to yesterday lied to you. Like that's not ever going to be a real savant statement. You need to give something that's plausible that a storyteller would give it to you. And you need to give yourself some way to use your, you know, use your ability.
Yeah. And an important thing to remember also, like, some people will think, well, like, if I'm actually the savant, I'm going to lie about my role for a few days so I can gain a bunch of information and the evil team doesn't know that I'm a dangerous character who needs to be killed. Like, that's a very legitimate way to play savant. But the madness is not asking you to play in a way that a savant might play. It's asking you to convince your group that you are the savant, and other people might, as the savant, just be open and share their information. And that's because they want people to know they're the savant. Like, if you want someone to know that you're a character, you generally tend to have to be more open and sharing your information, and that's what madness is trying to get you to do. So with that in mind, Milk, I'm going to let you have, like, one or two conversations before we move on to the next scenario to sort of show how you might try to use the madness to sort of work through your juggler information. So who do you want to talk to?
Let's just start with seat six.
Okay. Hey, Milk. Nice to speak to you again. What's up? How's it going?
Hey, seat six. So, I'm the savant. I was claiming other stuff yesterday, but I'm actually the savant, and I got kind of an interesting statement, and I wanted to see if you could kind of help me with it.
Is your statement something like that you think I could, like, try to go solve by getting fisherman advice?
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible that you might be able to, it might be useful for you to do that. I don't know. It's your ability. You decide what you want to do. But one of my statements is that I am seated within two seats of a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And the other statement, so it's either that or... there is a minion seated between seat 6 and seat 10.
Okay, well, they go, I'm not a minion, so I can't help you with that. I don't know if I'm drunk yet. I haven't gotten my advice yet. I'm still waiting. I was going to try to shoot for day 3, maybe, is a good day to get advice.
Yeah, I mean,
Do you think I should go get it now to help solve your savant information?
I mean, my savant information will get... savant information, right? It'll get solved out eventually in the game. We don't need to push on it fast. You use your ability the way you want to use it. I don't think there's any reason for you to try to figure out my savant information with it. My savant information should become clear eventually. And honestly, you getting your information when you want to get it will help with the drunk thing, so.
Okay.
Cool, thanks.
And who else do you want to talk to?
Let's go all the way across to seat 12.
All right. And seat 12 goes, hey, Milk, how's it going?
Hey, I just wanted to check in with you again. I was lying to people yesterday. I don't remember what I claimed to you, but I'm actually the savant, and I have some interesting information that I'm trying to parse through.
NC-12 goes, well, as I told you yesterday, I am the Banshee. I think it's fine for me to be public out like this. Either they kill me and I get to use my ability, or they don't kill me and I'll be alive in Final 3 anyway. So, yep, Banshee here.
That makes sense to me. So anyway, the information that I got is that either there is a drunk seated within 2 seats of me, or there is a minion seated between seat 6 and seat 10. What do you think about that? Does any of that ring with anything you've
heard? C12 goes, yeah, I don't know. I'm just the Banshee man.
Okay, cool. Just curious if that was, you know, if there was something you had heard or somebody you talked to that was kind of sus or anything.
No.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So, right, I've already got actually quite a bit of information from talking to these two people, right? Mm-hmm. The fisherman sounds pretty legit. The fisherman could be the Serenovus, who knows that I'm mad right now, but probably they're just a helpful townsfolk. They could be the drunk. They could be some other role that's bluffing fishermen. But that player seems more likely to be good. The Banshee over in seat 12, on the other hand, socially seems much more suspicious. Doesn't seem to be interested in the savant information at all. So I'm going to guess that person who's claiming Banshee probably isn't the Banshee. I'm more likely to think that the fisherman is the fisherman. So... I would probably look to talk to one of the other three at that point, or maybe just somebody new, because, again, I can solve it out more tomorrow. But I would start thinking about what, you know, how many of these are really false, how many people are backing out of their claims. You know, if it ends up that like two of them back out of their claims and three of them are still sitting on their claims, we're probably in like Vortox or there's evils in my picks.
OK, I'll tell you that as you go back to town, you hear that. You happen to overhear seat 2 say to someone, I was telling people I was the bounty hunter yesterday to try to draw a kill. I'm just the steward.
Well, there you go. So there's one down already, right? And that information will just come out as the game goes on. So again, there's no rush for me to push on my information here. There's no rush for me to try to figure out this juggler one today. As long as we don't kill a demon in a heretic game, everything's fine. And my information doesn't help with that right now, right? So there's no real hurry for me to do a whole lot.
All right. Do you want to have one more conversation, maybe?
Sure. Let's talk to seat nine. I'll give seat nine the same kind of treatment.
All right. Seat 9 you didn't talk to yesterday. You just thought they might be the klutz.
Oh, I just guessed that they might be the klutz based on socials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Seat 9 goes, hey, Milk, how's it going?
Hey, doing fine, Seat 9. I'm the savant, and I'm just trying to parse out some information.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Stop lying to me, Milk.
I'm the savant. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you're not. Stop lying to me, Milk.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm the savant, and I was just trying to sort out through my information.
You don't have savant information, Milk.
I have savant information. I'm the savant.
No, you don't.
Do you want to
try again?
I don't know what's going on. No, I don't want to try again. I'm the savant.
You are absolutely 100% not the savant, Milk.
I don't really know what to tell you. I'm definitely the savant.
I'm not getting into this with you. If you want to tell me something real, that's fine, but I'm not putting up with your bullshit today, Milk. You're not the savant. We both know it.
All right. I don't know what to tell you. I guess we're just in a double claim then.
They go, well, you're going to back down eventually because we both know you're not the goddamn savant.
Not happening. Sorry. Don't know what to tell you.
So this is something else that happens sometimes with Serenovus Madness. You've run into a player who appears to be claiming the role that you're mad as.
Well, either a player who's claiming the role... Well, yeah, a player who's claiming the role that I'm mad as. So either a good player who is actually the savant, or a pixie who's mad as the savant,
or an evil player who's mad
that I'm using their bluff.
Yeah. Like, all those are happening. But what do you sort of do when you're sort of forced into that conflict with someone? Because you're mad is a role else is or is claiming.
Yeah, I mean, it's a social situation, right? We're not gonna really spend time going back and forth like, yes, I am, no, you're not, yes, I am, no, you're not. We're in a double claim. It is what it is. Double claims happen. You know, it's unfortunate, but at least I know that's probably a savant claim, which means that juggle was also, crucially, not right. And ultimately, I don't really care if I die at this point. I mean, there's plenty of people left alive. I'm the juggler. I've used my ability. So, you know, I'm not going to push on this player. If they nominate me and get me executed, it's fine, you know? Yeah, I mean, it's just more useful information to corroborate that I probably didn't juggle this person correctly. Whether they're evil or not, I probably didn't juggle this person correctly.
Yeah. They're certainly not claiming klutz today.
Yeah. Again, remember, we don't have to solve the whole game in one day.
Exactly. All right.
One other thing we should mention about juggler with Serenovus Madness is, as the juggler here, I'm really happy that I was made mad on day two and not on day one, because it's a base Sects and Violets interaction, but the Serenovus hitting the juggler day one basically means the juggler's ability is nullified.
All right. Well, I think that's like a nice little short dive into playing as someone who's Seramad. Why don't we switch things up and we'll have you play as a different character briefly, and then we'll switch seats.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So let me clear the grimoire.
Please do. Yes. Okay.
So I'm going to tell you a very short story about this game. You're the Harpy. You're sat in seat 8.
That sounds familiar.
Your demon is up in seat 1. They're Vigor Mortis. They killed you.
Mm-hmm.
Your other fellow minion is in seat 10. They were executed day 1. Seat 9 claimed to have an empath 2 on you and seat 10. And they executed seat 10 first. Then you were immediately killed in the night.
That seems strong.
Apparently your demon did not trust that. They wanted to lose both their minion abilities immediately. Seat 11 you know to be the Banshee, because at some point the storyteller woke up, said in the middle of the night, Screech! The Banshee has awoken! And everyone else except up to this point, except for seat 12, seat 2, and seat 5, has either been executed or died in the night. It doesn't really matter what. I can tell you that your bluffs were Bounty Hunter, Savant, and Pixie. Your Vigor Mortis up in seat 1 took the Bounty Hunter bluff. Mm-hmm. And your Serenovus in seat 10 took the Pixie bluff, leaving you a Savant bluff. Not that it overly matters at this point, since you have been dead since night 2, but you did have to make up one day of Savant information at some point. Seat 9, as you know, is claiming to be the empath, and you're pretty sure they were sober and healthy, because, as I noted, they had a 2. But after you died, they did keep getting 2s. They've gotten 2s all game now.
Interesting.
Until they were executed. It's as if they're vigor poisoned for some reason, Milk. You have claims for most people in the game so far. Seat 7 is claiming Fisherman. Seat 6 is claiming Mayor. Seat 5, General. Seat 4, Snake Charmer. Seat 3, we've lost Milk. I don't know when we lost Milk. Are we getting Milk back? There we go. Milk's back.
Okay, we're just going to cut that bit.
Where did you leave off? I was going through claims.
Banshee. Hit me with the Banshee again. It was right
after. The Banshee has awoken. Sure. That happened when seat 11 was killed the night. So these are the claims you have. Seat 9 is claiming to be the empath. They've gotten 2s all game, as all their neighbors keep dying. Seat 7 is claiming to be the Fisherman. Seat 6, the Mayor. Seat 5, the General. Seat 4, the Snake Charmer. Seat 3, the Oracle. Seat 2, the Steward. Seat 1 is your Demon, of course, they're claiming. Bounty Hunter. And seat 12, the Juggler. Yesterday, you all finally executed the Empath in seat 9 after they reported their, I think it would have been 4 or 5 straight days of
because they're a liar.
I don't think they're a liar, Milk. I think the storyteller has given them a 2 every night of this game.
I'm surprised Town didn't figure this out.
Well, I mean, you've been dead the entire game.
That's true.
So you're the harpy here.
Yeah.
And you have to use some offensive madness choices. Now, obviously, as you know, one of these players must be an outsider who's lying, which is either a drunk who doesn't know they're lying, a mutant who's afraid, or, of course, a heretic who is trying to keep that from your evil team.
Yep.
So you don't know which is which, of course.
Exciting.
The Oracle in seat 3 did claim to get a 2 when you in seat 10 died. And then has gotten a consistent 2 the rest of the game.
That seems right.
The general, you believe, has mostly gotten evils as winning. You have no idea what the fisherman advice was. The snake charmer says they've cleared mostly dead players, but there's one living player they've cleared. You don't know who. And the juggler got a 0.
Oh, and what was my other minion? I put them as Scarlet Woman, but I actually don't know.
Serenovus.
All right.
Seat 2, the Seward, claimed to see the mayor in seat 6.
All right, that sounds fine.
So, here you are. So your demon's going to kill someone. You don't know who they're going to kill. And then you'll wake up on 3.
Let's see.
You still have your ability, though. You're the Harvey with the Vigor Killed ability. What do you want to do with it here?
So, I'm thinking that the demon is either going to kill seat 2 or seat 12. Unknown if the general is the drunk or the heretic. But I think in either case, I want to point them at seat 1. So I think what I'm going to do with my ability is make seat 5 mad that seat 1 is evil.
Ooh, you're going for the madden them at your own demon strategy.
Yeah, and basically I'm making sort of a twofold, gamble here. I'm making a twofold gamble that hopefully this in a non-heretic game, hopefully this will make the Vigor Mortis look like not the demon, and Town might not kill them. And in a heretic game, if somebody comes out as the heretic tomorrow, it will make the Vigor Mortis look like not the demon, and the Town will kill them and know that it's not, you know, basically think it's, you know, basically try to kill them in a heretic. This will also force seat 5 to probably nominate them, or very likely nominate them, or at least push on them in some way. This at least kind of forces seat 5 to do some thinking. It also means that if seat 5 doesn't comply with the madness, which is pretty insane, the storyteller could choose to kill both of them, although I don't think that's likely to happen.
I would say it's highly unlikely the Harpy is going to kill the demon on final 3.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's a heretic game or not.
So it's really pretty not safe. What
the Harpy's there to do.
So it's pretty safe for me, really. You know, I don't think the storyteller is ending the game with the Harpy ability one way or the other. So this is just entirely social.
I might do it if you targeted a good player with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good on good.
And because of that, you should always stick with your Harpy Madness.
Yeah.
I'm probably not likely to do that on a heretic script no matter what, but you should still stick with it because if it's not a heretic game and you don't, I will probably just kill you in that evil win that way.
Yeah, but most of the time you should be complying with it in final 3.
And you don't want to take the risk it's a very big gamble to take to not comply with it on the theory that the storyteller's probably not going to kill the demon with the harpy ability on Final Three.
Now, this is a social play almost entirely, and I will say, if people think that I might be the vigor-killed harpy, me specifically, I might point elsewhere. But as I am just a random player in seat 8, this is a fine thing to do. If you are known as a person who regularly targets your demon with abilities / madness / points at your demon / votes on your demon, like I am, potentially consider not doing this specific thing. So yeah, that's where I'm going, Emma. I'm going seat 5 at seat 1.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you just for fun that seat 12 died the night.
Yeah, that is what I expected.
And at the start of the day, seat 2 came out as the heretic, and seat 7 came out as the fisherman, whose advice was, tell seat 2 it's safe to keep doing what they're doing, which was buffing Steward, who with a ping on seat 6.
Great. And, you know, we don't know how this goes, right?
So knowing that now, and the Snake Charmer said the player they had cleared who was still alive was seat 12.
Yeah, so it's fine. So
this seems like it's likely is, in fact, a heretic game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very hard for you to find a drunk anywhere in any of this information. The general information makes sense with it being a heretic game. Right?
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, so we're not going to... So knowing now it's a heretic game, how do you feel about your choice of having seat 5 targeted at your demon?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. They're probably never going to kill seat 1, regardless of whether seat 5 nominates here. The general information looks like it matches with the... Looks like it matches with the heretic world. So we probably just lose, and they probably just kill seat 5 or seat 2. But that's okay. Like, they probably just kill seat 2, to be honest, like, if they believe it's a heretic game. And they'll never kill seat 5 or seat 1. But, you know... It was worth a shot. It's still probably the right target. It's still a good target. You know, could I have pointed at seat 2 and guessed that they were the heretic? Maybe. You know,
it's tough. It's hard. Tough. When the heretic happens to get into a good bluff.
Yeah.
It can be hard to find them.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's still a fine thing to do. Seat 5 still got to push on seat 1. In fact, seat 5 has to push on seat 1 even harder now. Right. Because, you know.
Seat 5 is actually in a tricky position because they might have to think that seat 2 here is, in fact, the harpy who's making them mad at seat 1.
Exactly. And so they need to figure this out, but they're probably going to have to nominate seat 1. It's going to be really hard for them to create a world where seat 1 isn't an evil that they should nominate today. So it could just be, it could be a little tricky for seat 5. They could end up kind of getting forced into a corner, you know, and then, you know, we vote along with it, you know, see what happens. We get 3-4 votes. You know, you never know. You catch a vote from a townsfolk that, you know, you don't know what happens. So, yeah, this is also a good example of the power of the Vigor Mortis to just hide a minion and make it look like there's more minions alive in Final Three than there are. So especially with Madness, which is very loud. You know, by this point, I've probably spread the madness around. Multiple people probably know that there's madness around. They may actually think that seat 5 is currently being made mad by a harpy, in which case, where's the demon? You know, there's a lot of possibilities. Seat 7 could be a drunk and seat 2 could just be an evil player. Like there's worlds you can build.
Yeah. There's worlds you can build. Of course, you as an evil player now basically have the Grim confirmed to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
I know
no
where
drunk, there's no mutant.
No.
C2 is definitely the heretic.
Yeah. And I might have figured this out early, you know, playing through a game regularly, I might have figured this out earlier and I might have tried to engineer madness, you know, harpy madness in different ways, you know, to try to get seat 5 kind of stuck pushing that seat 2 is evil for multiple days if I had figured this out earlier in the game. But you can't predict, you know, you can't predict that.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I think it's pretty good. All right, let's switch up and we'll do some other stuff.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We're going to do two more little mini scenarios, and we're going to start off with Emma here. Emma's going to be the mutant in seat four to start off with. And I'm not even going to really do a whole lot with the Grim on this one. But let me ask you, starting off, Emma, you draw the mutant token right out of the bag. Where do we start? What do you do when you see the mutant token?
Well, you do a little happy dance first, because the mutant's one of the best, most fun characters in the game.
Yeah, it's true.
So, but you probably try to keep that to yourself, because otherwise, if too many people notice you doing a happy dance, the storyteller might realize you're claiming mutant. So,
how do you pick a character to claim? I mean, obviously, you know, day one claims don't mean a lot, so you can kind of, you know, spin up some stuff. But when push starts to come to shove, how do you set yourself up for success in the mid to late game?
So, I mean, I think your goal as a mutant should be try to make up townsfolk information that you earnestly believe is true. So you can float your townsfolk claims, especially on day one or day two. That's pretty common. And as you're sort of getting a sense of the socials and the Grim State, sort of try to back into a permanent bluff by day three, which is sort of how a lot of people will play the game anyway, like float around, spin half-truths and truths for a couple days, and then on day three-ish start being honest about their role and telling the truth. With Mutant, you're just sort of doing the same thing, but when you become honest about your role and start telling the truth, what you're doing instead is you're being honest about the role you're lying to be and giving information that you think is true based on the game state you're in. So, like, on this script, like, I have a weakness for, like, fishermen and savant bluffs. And as the mutant, I like them a lot with these sort of make-your-own-information bluffs. So I might spend a while getting some information. Then on, like, day three, when I was ready to commit, I might go get some fisherman advice. And that fisherman advice would be made to back up a world I already believed was true. And I wanted to convince on my social read and my deductions town with the added lie of this is actually information being made up by me, not given to me by the storyteller. That's my general sort of approach.
Okay. There's other approaches.
Some people will also like sort of lock into a role that doesn't have to give much information. Mm-hmm. In that juggler scenario we were covering, I didn't mention this, but the player who was hard claiming Banshee was in fact just the mutant the entire time.
Makes perfect sense.
Some people will do that. They'll just like claim a role that doesn't have information because that way they don't have to worry about making things up. So if you're that type of player, you can go with Banshee, Mare, Slayer on this script, all roles that, don't have to make up information and therefore don't have to get caught in lies, which is always nice. If you go mutant mad as a Slayer on this script in particular, you might have the added bonus of shooting the demon, then thinking you're a lying outsider, being worried that you're the heretic and killing themselves.
That works for me.
Like, it's something that legitimately could happen. Like, other people will, like, sort of go for things that might get them into that are easy to bluff. Like, Steward, you can just be a Steward who has one ping on one player. Mm-hmm. Really, as a mutant, you can be whatever you want. And that's why it's such a fun role. As long as it's not an outsider. You can't be an outsider.
That's right. You're not allowed, specifically. It's like the Baron of the good team, basically. You're not allowed to be an outsider.
If Goblin was on a script, I would claim Goblin as the mutant. That seems fun to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with that. What do you do, Emma, when somebody really pushes you on being mad? You know, I mean, it can happen with Serenovus madness. It can kind of happen with Harpy madness. It may happen with the Pixie, but the mutant specifically it seems rather prone for people to coming out and say, I think you're the mutant. and you having to kind of defend that.
Well, deny it, first of all.
Of course.
You don't have to, like, if people are convinced you're the mutant and, like, they're saying every five sentences, oh, by the way, Emma's just the mutant, you don't have to always respond and interrupt them and cut in immediately to say, no, I'm not. The storyteller's not going to require you to do that generally because it's obnoxious. It's not fun for anyone. And the storyteller shouldn't be trying to force you to do things that aren't fun just to that make the game less fun as a whole, just to satisfy madness. But like you should, but if people are regularly pushing on you as the mutant, you should be regularly pushing back and saying, no, no, this is my actual fisherman advice. I'm the real fisherman. This is real advice. I'm not the mutant. This player, and you can, if you think the player who's pushing back is evil, you can say, I think this player is just evil and afraid of the power of this advice. Like, you have options. You can't, like, if you just sit there and, but if you do just sit back and let people write you off as the mutant and sit there passively while they're doing so, you are liable to be executed. So you do need to fight for your status as the not the mutant if people start suspecting you and you want to stay alive.
All right.
Sometimes, though, it's fine, though. You can just die. It's frequently not the end of the world for a good player to be executed.
All right. Well, let's just go ahead and just change your token, Emma. And let's just change your token to another good role, a good team role that interacts with madness. Let's just change your character to the pixie. And in this world, which you're still sitting in the same seat because it's just easy to do that way. In this world, you're going to wake up and be shown. And I've been kind of on a kick where I like to show pixies powerful roles in games. So you're going to be shown an empath in this game. Where do we start with pixie madness? Obviously, you're going to be claiming empath, but what do we do? How do we, you know, how do we get that engine started in the same way as sort of the mutant? What do we do about our information? Like, how do we do this? Where do we pick up with a pixie?
Right, with a pixie is similar to mutant, except with the pixie, of course, the storyteller is telling you which role you have to pretend to be, and which, of course, focuses what sort of information you make up. Now, one important thing about pixiness, and I'm once again going to... This is a semi-official document. It's Madness as Explained by Steven, which is a document of, which is available on the unofficial Discord. And it notes this paragraph. Madness can be a tricky concept, particularly for the pixie, because the pixie Claire can be mad now, but not have been mad for the game as a whole. Or the pixie can not be mad now, but has been mad for the game as a whole. And then he goes into some examples. And for example, here's this one. If the pixie who see, and this is a pixie who saw a washerwoman, if the pixie player was initially mad about being the washerwoman, then the player tried to convince the group they were the savant, then tried to convince the group they were mad due to the Sarah Novus and really are the washerwoman after all, the story teller would likely judge that the player was mad as the washerwoman and grant the washerwoman ability.
So that's...
On the other hand...
Sorry, go ahead.
If the pixie player is initially silent for 2 days, then mad about being the washerwoman, but did not come up with a believable reason as to why they were silent, or came up with a believable reason but didn't seem to be trying very hard to convince people and instead seemed to just be saying words that the storyteller would reluctantly grant them the washerwoman ability, then the storyteller would likely judge the player was not mad as the washerwoman and not grant the washerwoman ability to the player.
All right, well, let's see what that looks like in action to some extent. Let's go ahead and skip to day two of this game. The player in seat five is dead, and the player in seat eight died in the night. The player in seat five was executed. Mm-hmm. We won't worry about any of the other claims right now because they're day one claims, and they don't necessarily matter. But on night two, as I was previously, are made Sarah Novus mad as, let's go with the Klutz.
Okay.
obviously you're going to try to comply with this Serenovus madness.
Mm-hmm.
So how does this affect your pixie ability going forward? Assuming that you were claiming empath on the first day.
Yeah, so I was claiming empath on the first day. Now I'm shifting into klutz. So I'm just going to claim the klutz today. Like, this is genuinely going to be better than me if I'm not interested in eating an execution. And as the sort of madness as explained by Stephen Guide entails, you just have to, if you want to regain your pixie ability after the Serenovus moves on, you just have to come up with a believable reason for why you were claiming klutz for a day. And that's easy. You can say, the Serenovus made me mad as the klutz, but like I was saying on day one, I'm actually the empath. Like, so because pixie is sort of a thing that can be checked at any time, you don't know when it's going to be checked. You'll have the opportunities to be mad for the purpose of the pixie again later. You don't have to be prioritizing your pixie madness at all times. You can get there later. You're not going to lose your ability forever just because you were mad as the klutz for a day by the Serenovus. Now, if you're mad as the klutz today and the pixie happens to be executed, then you may lose your pixie ability forever. And that's unfortunate, but that's just normal evil disruption.
That sounds about right to me.
If you want to gain your ability, your best bet is to comply with the Serenovus madness, hope the Serenovus moves on, or better yet, get that Serenovus executed.
Sounds good. Let's do one more little mini scenario, okay. Emma. Emma, let's do one more here, and this time we're gonna give you the good old Serenovus. You're gonna be the Serenovus. We've talked about Serenovus before on the podcast, of course. We're gonna give it one more go here, and I'm gonna take you toward the end of the game. Let's kill off seat 6. Let's kill off seat 9. Let's kill off seat 7. Let's kill off seat 1, and we'll also kill off seat 2. All right, Emma. We're going to go to this sort of final five scenario, and you're going to be making somebody mad after the execution today. So I'm going to give you the grim basically as you know it, which is essentially going to be accurate. So you're going to have a mayor in seat 3, a mayor claim that you trust. A dead general claim in seat 2. A dead oracle in seat 1. We'll get back to that oracle in a second. You've got an empath in seat 12. You've got a steward in seat 11. You have the imp in seat 10, who was previously the Scarlet Woman. You have a dead klutz in seat 9. The dead klutz picked the player in seat 2, which is why the player in seat 2 is dead now. You have the juggler in seat 8, who died before they got their juggle information. You have the previous imp in seat 7, who was killed by town. You have a fisherman in seat 6. This fisherman we'll get back to in a second. And you have a snake charmer who was executed by town on day 1 in seat 5. And you're the Serenovus. It looks like town is going to execute seat 11 today. Now, some important pieces of information. The oracle in seat 1 got a 1 after your imp in seat 7 was executed. So town believes
Makes
that
sense.
There is a dead evil player. The mm-hmm. steward in seat 11 is confirming the player in seat 6, who is the fisherman. So I'll just put that marker here. The fisherman's advice in this game was you should find and kill the demon.
Good advice.
It's pretty good advice. Empath seems to have, the empath has a zero. Currently, the empath seems to be getting true information. Town is about to execute seat 11 at the end of the day. The votes have kind of gone around. You're going to be going into final three. The mayor in seat three has sort of been saying mayor. They've seemed suspicious. You know, maybe you've made them Saranova's mad previously. I'm not too concerned about that. But after seat 11 is executed and dies and everybody goes to sleep, where are you going to be targeting your Saranova's madness and why?
All right. Just a few notes here. There's probably a drunk or heretic somewhere on this grim. Possibly a mutant. It's curious they executed it into the empath numbers, into the empath zero yesterday. That's weird. Maybe they think it's a Vortox game. I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably not a heretic. There's probably not a heretic, actually, because of the fisherman in seat six. That would be a weird device to get in a heretic game. So there's probably a drunk somewhere. So the drunk is almost certainly either the general, the snake charmer, the juggler, or the mayor. Mm-hmm. Or one of them is the mutant. If one of them is the mutant, it's certainly seat three. Because they're alive and have bad information, and don't have in the seat two as seat 12 is good information, so it's probably the mayor in seat three. I don't know who my demon's going to kill today. But I can tell you this. It's not a heretic game, so I'm targeting the mayor claiming seat three, and I'm targeting them specifically as the drunk.
Okay, and why are you targeting them as the drunk? I agree that that's an excellent choice. Let's explain for everyone why.
We have a missing outsider. So they might be, indeed, fact be the mutant, not the mayor. By targeting them as the drunk, I can put them in the mutant Saranova's trap, where they're mad as an outsider, but have to be at the same time not mad as an outsider, which in Final 3 is a very terrifying spot for a mutant to be in, because the storyteller can execute them at literally any time. They cannot possibly comply with both madnesses. I don't know if the storyteller is going to let me get away with that, but the mayor better be making their most earnest attempt to do something with that, because if the mayor sort of isn't trying, the storyteller probably will feel good about executing them. So that's step one. Step two, they could actually be the mayor, in which case, I don't want them advocating for a mayor win. They have an empath zero clearing them. I don't want this mayor going off. So by making them mad as the drunk, if they start trying to tie votes, the storyteller is completely within their rights to execute them and should. And they're the only good nomination.
Yeah, that all sounds right. You're going to wake up in the morning with a dead empath and a player in seat 11 claiming to be the mutant. And the mayor now claiming that they believe that they are the drunk. And they're going to have to at least 50-50 on you two. Maybe you could push on them as being an evil player. It's a very, very nice choice. And I think an example of how Saranova's can be particularly deadly if you can get a decent grim read, even off some very basic information.
So that's our episode for the week. And again, we apologize for the sort of hectic and delayed and not regular schedule. We are going to try to get back on track.
Yeah.
We are planning to do a episode focused on the Damsel Huntsman minigame soon. Damsel got a few new Jinx updates.
That's exciting.
In the first of the Botsy patch notes that were released. They've said they're going to have some rolling patch notes over the next couple months to sort of clean up some of the characters that have been released, the experimental ones, clean up some of the jinxes for characters that don't work so well get together. And some of those were with the Damsel. The Damsel used to be hate jinxed with the Spy and the Widow, which meant they couldn't be in play together. But now, if the Spy or Widow is in play with the Damsel will be poisoned. So the evil team still can't you know, get cheap wins by guessing a damsel who they've seen in the grimoire, but the damsel won't know this anymore. They won't know that it's not a Spy or Widow game. I think this is an interesting and fun update, and really just a preview for our upcoming Damsel Huntsman episode.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about those damsel jinxes in the next episode, but after a couple of these sets of patch notes come out, we'll probably do an episode to sort of compile some thoughts on all of those jinxes and how they impact the game. I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, and some of these aren't going to be jinxes. Some of these are going to be character text changes, which we also got the first one of, which was
the king. Yeah.
Other important things, Vegas Clock Tower Con coming up in October. Get your tickets at vegasclocktowercon.com. Fairly soon, we'll be doing some sort of giveaway. We have some tickets to give away to Vegas, so keep your ears out for that. We'll try to start that giveaway probably sometime next month to give people plenty of time to win the tickets, then plan to actually come to Vegas.
Yeah, and I think we're even going to have a guest on from the Vegas Clock Tower Con organizer folks, so that'll be fun too.
Yep. So with all that said, Milk, I think may your scenario stay grim.
Bye, everybody.